Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Scott, who is here to speak with us about the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for being with us.
You bet. It's a pleasure.
So it's fun because we're in retreat season, very much so, and very fun for those of us who live at the monastery and get to benefit so much from the practice of so many people coming in from all over the country and the world, literally, to participate. And we have our first There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat of the year coming up. And so we thought, gosh, you know what? We always assume everyone, you know, knows about that work, but not everyone does. And I think for a lot of us who do, we forget that that's an option. We forget that it's out there and the power of that work. So we thought it would be fun to feature it. So thanks for being with us this afternoon to help us do that.
Yeah, what a lovely, powerful topic to be speaking about.
Yeah, amen. One of the things, I mean, please start off in whatever direction makes best sense to you, but one of the things that I was looking at as I was considering the topic was looking at, you know, there's so many ways we practice, and we really fundamentally are always practicing the same thing. But I was looking at what makes the There's Nothing Wrong With You work particularly powerful in particular. You know, what about that work that makes it so special?
And transformative.
And transformative, yes.
Yeah. So you're asking me that.
What your sense. And as I say, you know, wherever you want to start.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it was just a fun question to be asked because, of course, it just transports me back to the first time that I got to do that. And what I was just seeing was like, wow, the incredible privilege to put everything aside in our life and say, something's really important about this work. This is the retreat that's being offered and suggested to me. And like you were suggesting, for people who are brand new to the practice, but for people who have been around practice for a long time, both my experience of doing that myself and hearing from others, it's equally as powerful. But just to kind of put that time aside, no distractions, I'm not doing anything but being with this work. Wow, I mean, just what's possible. I mean, because I think previous to that, it was kind of like, you know, a little class over here or a little bit of reading over here or 5 minutes over there. But to really give all the attention to receive the incredible support that goes on over 8 days to explore what we explore, to me, it's unparalleled. It's sort of unheard of.
Yeah. So in other words, it sounds like for my experience, you know, having started practice to some degree and reading a little of this and doing a little of that and participating here, but then for whatever reason, kind of having this retreat be put in front of your awareness. And so deciding to do what you needed to do to make that happen. And, you know, being a person at the time who was living out in the world and had all responsibilities and relationships and all of that, it takes a lot. Range your life to go somewhere for 8 days. And so being willing to do that and really having that incredible benefit of having that be all you were doing for those 8 days, completely focused on the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work.
Yeah, and I think when you were just saying that, I realized everybody else is doing that. Everybody else is completely focused on this work, the facilitators, the whole monastery, everything's been prepared and set up, everyone's working for what we do, transforming lives, including all the other retreatants that show up. And again, where else does that happen where there's just like that kind of single commitment to waking up?
Yes, exactly so. Go ahead. I was just going to say, having participated in this particular retreat many times, you have both as a participant and you get to also facilitate as well. I was just curious what your sense of what this particular retreat offers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the really beautiful things is, you know, there's a lot of different things that we hear and read in books and things like that, and it may sound kind of, well, that's interesting. And on this retreat, we get to look at each one of those things in depth, you know, kind of all the basics, the foundations. I wouldn't really actually say basic because it's, there's nothing basic about it, but the foundations of practice, we get to be walked through each one of those in a really wonderful way, an in-depth way where we get to talk about it, we get to practice with it, we get to have our experience of it, and then we get to talk about it, practice with it, have our own experience with it, and again, just to have that focus, to be able to, and the freedom to do that, that's a really powerful part for me on this one.
Yeah, and what I saw as you were saying that was, you know, for everyone who comes on the retreat has read the book, because we ask that people do before they do that. And so there's really a way in which those foundational things that you're talking about, the five processes of practice, you know, all the basic components that that create the world of suffering, and then the process for going beyond that. You know, as you say, it's one thing to read about it in a book, but then to be walked through an experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, also having gotten to have the extraordinary opportunity to walk through this retreat many, many times, what I think is so powerful about it is that we are walked through it step by step by step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you alluded to this, that, you know, not only have I made the space to come and do this for 8 days, but everyone else in the room has too, and they have brought all of their life experience with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we're going through each of these things and we're all experiencing it, I'm not only seeing what I'm seeing about it as it applies to my own life, but then hearing what everyone else is seeing in it, and that just exponentially adds to kind of what we each see with it, right, with each step.
Yeah, it exponentially adds to things that we're seeing, it to have everyone there looking at the exact same thing. And boy, gosh, you know, hearing from other people, it's kind of hard to believe that there's something wrong with me. You know, as we go through that, it's like, oh, you know, because most of us think, well, this is something unique to me, and no, there really is something wrong. And the privilege of doing it together where everyone's focused on this same topic, and to hear from people and go, oh my gosh, that goes on for you too. I mean, to me, there's nothing that can beat that that experience. Because again, if you're just with yourself, or even in a one-to-one, whatever, therapy or something like that, you know, the voices can still kind of get you, you know.
Yep.
But if you're listening to everyone else have the same experience, it's kind of like, huh, suffering seems to be kind of universal.
Thank you for bringing it. And that's, I think, my number one favorite thing about the retreat is that, I mean, you just fall in love with everyone in the retreat. Because everyone just puts all of it out there, just puts it out in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Like, this is our big opportunity. All these things that I'm tortured with, all these things that I believe about myself, this is my big opportunity to put it out in the middle of the room and to find out it's all right. And not only is it all right, but everyone else is having the same experience, going through the same thing. And because, as you say, it's so easy to look at all of these folks that I'm falling in love with day after day, that I can see obviously there's nothing wrong with them. And I'm hearing what goes on in their head that they're being tortured with. I can see that's just not true. And then eventually, you know, the sort of the last place is, well, then maybe it's not true about me either.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, listening to you and listening to me, Claire, we're pretty grateful for our experience. And that's just what I hear across the board, both when I was a participant and also participating in some of the facilitation, is I don't know if I've heard anybody not just be got down on their knees grateful by the end of the retreat. You know, there's never a place of like, oh, that was okay, or I don't know if I should have done that. It's just always, thank you.
Yeah.
That was completely transformative. And I would say I've heard that same experience, and it was true for me, my own experience. That happens to people who do it multiple times. there's sort of no end to the depth of what we're looking at. So there's not like, oh, I did that, I've got that done. And, you know, getting to see the curriculum a little bit more in the way that I have, it's like the brilliance of it. And, of course, we're different. We're transforming. We're changing.
Oh, absolutely.
So each time
and
we show up to the retreat, it's a whole
other
group of people. I mean, it's pretty much completely different every single time. And so you just get to see life orchestrating its magic, transforming each person as we get walked, as you said, step by step through these important processes.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's important to do this work, this particular work, at regular intervals in order to move our practice healthy and vibrant and back to those foundational places. You know, as you were talking earlier, I had that image of, you know, it's that place people will often talk about where I read a book and, wow, I see so much in it. And then I read it again 5 years later and it's so clear in reading it again. A, I see so much more in it. And B, I see how different I am. I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
And when I read that book, and I'm much more able to take it in and all these. So what a fun thing to do this retreat as a way to mirror what's happened for you in practice and to find all those places where the self-hate gets more and more subtle and starts to hide out and to bring those up to the surface. Because, boy, you know, the good news is being able to see it. The bad news is when we don't even realize it's there, you know, kind of behind the scenes running the show. So,
Exactly. So, I love that. You kind of cut out a little bit at the beginning there, but I think what I heard you say is how great this would be to do at regular intervals to keep our practice healthy and vibrant.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes to that.
we can certainly attest.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Scott. Well, we're at the top of the hour. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
I think we said it all. You know, healthy and vibrant, gratitude, transformative. Yeah. Gosh, I mean, if there's just any inkling, just, you know, hop on board.
Yeah, which was actually, thank you. That was one last piece that I was thinking of when you were speaking earlier, where you've never heard anyone who's gotten to the end of that retreat without gratitude, including for the things that often people have trepidation about, you know, be kind of scared, like, ooh, the monastery, and it's silent, and that seems weird, and all, you know, if not weird, then probably not for me, and I won't fit in. And so many people have, you know, had the courage to go up against a process like that, and as you say, by the end of it, just feel like, wow, I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad
I'm
I did,
so
because
glad.
It isn't scary.
Yes.
We're all here
together. I'm smiling big over here. Just imagining all those people coming here and getting ready, and those people right now listening, considering, gosh, maybe this would be something good to do for me.
So fun. Yep. We hope you'll come join us. All right, Scott. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Scott. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Sherry, are you there?
I am. I was talking along with my phone
there
muted.
There you are.
I was asking you how you are on this gorgeous day in May.
I am great. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we're all so diligent with the muting and wanting to keep the privileged environment.
God knows we're sincere.
Yes.
To a
yes,
fault,
we are.
You could say.
To a fault. Yes, yes. Yes, it is a beautiful day in May, isn't it?
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yes. And I enjoyed that conversation a lot. And I was thinking about what Scott and Jen were talking about at the end there, about the, you know, if I've never been to the monastery and the silence and the privileged environment and the weirdness and And
those all go into the weirdness category, right?
Weirdness, yes. And what I saw when I heard that was, well, it's kind of great being there because nobody talks to me and nobody bothers me. And, you know, I might get a note if I forget my shoes here or there, but pretty much people leave me alone. And it's a real privilege, right? That's why we use that word, privilege, to not have people, you know, talking to me and
interfering,
stuff onto me and interfering and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Somebody on the retreat this last week referred to it, used two words to describe it, exotic and foreign. It's like, you know, it's like going to an exotic foreign land. If we thought about it that way, instead of this is like what I know, only really, really, really different. You know, so it's exotic and it's foreign, and we have to really be tuned in, you know, pay attention. We don't want to miss anything. It's very exciting, unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, exactly.
And people leave us alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
Center in the Bay Area is moving. And we will resume with a new schedule on Tuesday, June 5th at the new location.
Yes. Very exciting. Yeah. I was participating in some of that today, and it's quite thrilling. It's quite a lovely little spot. So I hope people will
Great.
Come and join us there. Yeah.
Great. I will. I will.
I know you will. I trust you.
And you can email center@livingcompassion.org for information on the new location and the guidelines. The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, which we just heard about from Jen and Scott, is a chance for participants to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Several retreats will be held this summer at the monastery, June 23rd through 30th, July 7th through 14th, July 28th through August 4th, and August 15th through the 22nd.
It is the best gift that we can give to ourselves and everyone else.
Yes. Practice has that kind of magical way of benefiting all, which is how it's designed. And
yes.
Most compassionate for all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation that lasts about 5 minutes and is focused on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are you ready, Sherry?
I am. Thank you.
Oh, okay, you're welcome. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry. It's Andrew.
Hi,
from North Carolina.
Who's this?
Hey, Andrew.
Andrew from North Carolina.
Hey, Andrew.
How's the audio?
Good. You are
Great.
Loud and clear. You could be right here with us.
That's what
California.
It feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what have you been up to?
Well, I did that experiment that we talked about, and I promised I would call and let you know what the data was from, the role of video in my life, you could call it, that experiment.
Yes. Andrew, give a little background for people who didn't hear that original conversation.
I forgot. We're on the radio. So we were talking about how I am uncomfortable with watching video clips from action movies that have all of this punching and shooting and stuff, and yet found myself over and over being drawn to that and walking right into it unconsciously, and all of the stuff that I had tried, and some things that you had pointed out that I didn't, I just had no idea that I did already have some objective data, some noticing, some awareness about what that was like for me to watch video clips and kind of get lost in them for hours and feel very uncomfortable afterwards, and what it was like not to. And that really helped to realize, oh, I kind of already have some data on this. And then you had pitched the idea of doing an experiment to just, which, you know, I had some data, but it was low quality data. I wasn't that aware as I was going through, because there was a lot of story of, I won't bore you with all of them, but just a few that come to mind is, you're lazy, you're wasting your time, you shouldn't be watching video at all, much less this. This is terrible stuff, and yet it's really exciting, and you know you like it, and you really need a break from work, and you really need a break from the kids, and on and on and on and on. And so to go into it with a much more conscious, okay, I'm going to do like Sherry said, and I'm just going to see what this is like to watch this video or not watch this video, because that particularly I had never paid very much attention to, just kind of took it for granted as just normal life, and then here's exciting stuff over here to actually pay attention to. And the short version is I didn't watch any video for quite a few days, and then binged on video for quite a few days, and I didn't particularly like it, and I said, well, I think I'm going to go with what Sherry said about that we have a choice. It's just sticking to a commitment that I have without a whole lot of reasons for and against. You know, I choose not to do such and such. And that's been going pretty well. There's definitely been some thinking, oh, well, you know, you're at a place that you're on vacation, so you deserve to watch video, and they've got Wi-Fi, and this and the blah, blah, blah. And so I did want to look at that, because my commitment right now is, you know, I don't think I want to do that.
Well, Andrew, what I hear you really tuning into is, whatever, the voices that are talking you into both sides. Right? Mm-hmm. If you don't, they're trying to talk you into it. If you do, they're telling you what a bad person you are and what a waste of time. That's a wrong thing to do. Then you don't, and well, you really should. You deserve it. And so seeing how they're just confident that really the message is irrelevant. They just want to get on the opposite side to get as much juice out of this as they can, right? Because they don't care if you watch those videos or not.
Yeah.
They
or some other issue.
They just want attention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And misery, it seems like. It really feels
like that's what
that's all.
Well, if they can make you feel bad, Yeah, if they can make you feel bad. So if you don't watch it, somehow you're deprived, right? You need a break. You work hard and get kids, and you need some fun, some entertainment, some escape, right? And so there's deprivation if you don't. But if you do, well, then, you know, you're just a wastrel and a loser.
Yeah.
And,
Within seconds.
Isn't that good to see?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, from second to second. So I'm going to guess that where we are right now is it's not about the videos. It's about those voices.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And feeling the way they want us to feel. Refusing to feel bad because they call us names, and refusing to feel deprived because they make these cases, but just instead, you know, add those as more video in your life.
Oh. see if I'm catching up to you. You mean like it's just a video playing in my head about
that's right.
Andrew and what he should do and how he is. And
That's right. Yeah.
It's probably kind of more an audio, but there might be scenes that go with it. Right. And so to begin to see that as another series of videos playing, And the thing that we've noticed is they're really repetitious. Now, action videos, we could argue that they are a little repetitious. You know, how many things can get blown up? How many ways can you, you know? But they're not nearly as repetitious as those voices.
Mm.
Not nearly. They are far more interesting and varied than are those voices in the head.
Yeah. It's basically just that what y'all were talking about in Good News and everything is that they're saying there's something wrong with you, or there's something wrong with your life, or there's something that you need more. But it still really just boils down to there's something wrong with you. The Andrew that there's a story about that people, the thing people call Andrew.
Yes. Yeah, so there's something wrong. There's something wrong with you. There's you as a person. There's something wrong with your life. There's probably something wrong with your family. There's something wrong with your work. There's something wrong. Mm-hmm. There's just always something wrong.
Uh-huh.
There's something wrong because you don't have enough entertainment or enough fun or pleasure in your life. There's something wrong that you procrastinate and you're indulgent. And it's just wrong. Negative.
It's wonderful to hear you say those things without feeling the pain of believing, you know, when we're in the light room instead of the dark room, like, oh, this is just ridiculous in the literal sense of my thinking is worthy of ridicule, you know, it's just.
Those stories are worthy of ridicule. And, you know, that brings us to this is really a comedy. It's not a tragedy. So if we were to hear those voices, that monologue, that endless monologue in our head as a comedy routine, you know, a comedian who will get started, they'll say something. And, you know, it's marginally funny the first time they say it. And then they say it again. And they say it again. And they say it again. And pretty soon, you know, it's the 15th, 16th time, and everybody is laughing hysterically. It's not that funny, but the repetition of it is.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So if we start hearing those voices, it's like, how could you, don't you get bored? Don't you get tired of saying the same thing over and over and over and over? This is ridiculous.
That's exactly my experience sometimes. Yeah, I've definitely had plenty of times that,
Yeah, it's just silly.
This is really helping because when I see that it's not about certain content, you know, I can feel what we're talking about going out and touching in a healing way a lot of other stuff that's been coming up for me lately that boils down to the same stuff, the same processes, and you know, is getting a lot funnier than it was even, you know, half an hour ago.
Yes, and I would suggest that a big part of that is the realization that this is not personal. This is happening to every human being on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're in touch with it or not, it's happening. Mm. And so when we realize that that's the case, it would be like, you know, getting really upset and taking it personally that you have to keep eating or that you have to sleep regularly. And believing that you're the only one and you don't know that anybody else is doing this. That's kind of where we are with this. So we realize this is happening to everyone. I just can't take it seriously. All right.
Yeah, thank you so much.
More fun to be had, huh?
Yeah. I'm just curious if you have anything coming up as like next, you know, I guess we just keep doing this all the time, keep noticing, keep, you know, bringing as much awareness as we can.
That's right. And one of the things that you mentioned a couple of times, the Lightroom darkroom, and how our perception of all of this changes depending on where we are. It doesn't change. That system is doing and saying the same thing all the time. But we are more or less identified with it, more or less believing it. And so that's where our real work is the reminders, the practice to continue to realize what's happening. Am I hearing it or am I believing it? Am I seeing it or am I acting out of it? Am I stepped back or am I right in the middle of it? Okay,
wow,
your assignment. Okay, good. Thank you, Andrew.
Should I choose to accept it?
Let me know.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks
yes, exactly.
So much.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful evening, Michael. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. And Sherry, that humor is the savior, seems like.
Oh.
Otherwise, I'm just doomed.
Yes, yes, exactly. It's just grim and grisly, and we're just slogging along, and it's so hard. And then we just step back from it. Really? Really? What exactly is so hard about this? And we realize the only thing making it hard is that tragedy being played out in my head. I don't choose to go with that. Thanks awfully. I'm gonna switch. I'm gonna switch the channels. We're gonna watch a little of the comedy channel.
Yes, and I appreciated your reminder about the repetition of it too, and how much the same it is over and over and over.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
For years, right? Decades. It's it's astounding. Yeah. But we're waking up. We're seeing through it. We're not believing it in the same way. We're getting free of it. This is good.
Mm-hmm. We're sticking together, showing up, participating.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And let's hear from another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, I just got that big, like, woo, that shot of the heart beating.
You're unmuted.
I got the unmuted. I was like, oh, whoa, that's my phone. Woo. Yeah, oh, my goodness. I'm really glad to be here. Wow, yeah, so I have been looking at, that was a great conversation. I think the place of, like, you know, stepping back and seeing it instead of being in it, you know, a lot of that stuff. Because it feels like it feels like there's a big process of transformation going on. I guess there always is, but I feel like that's really been happening. And I can see when I step back sometimes, like, this is so helpful. It feels like these old ways of being that just really haven't, aren't sustainable and aren't really very supportive. I feel like they're falling away, and that's ultimately great, like really helpful for this person. But man, when I'm identified with it, it feels awful and scary, and like all the ways that, you know, it feels like people approved of me and I was, you know, known for being good at this thing. Like it feels like it's all falling apart and really awful when I'm in it. Just been watching all that and in and out of it, and
So let me ask you this. Back in those days when supposedly that was going on, which I seriously doubt, but were you happier?
You seriously doubt that, like, people were even approving or whatever I was making up or all that stuff or whatever?
Yes, that all those projections about how you used to be are better than how you are now. So I just was wondering if you were happier then being that person.
Right, probably not, no, you know, and that's the thing, like, I do feel like I
probably
have,
not.
Right, I have these lucid moments of like, yeah, that really wasn't working, like it did, you know, it just end up in a lot of like not taking care of myself or, you know, different things.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's that, thank you for that. That's so helpful to keep remembering that, because it definitely keeps making the case for like, you used to be good at these things and people used to, you know, which is all made up anyway, but now it's like, you know, now you're just a mess because all these old ways of doing stuff are like not working, it feels like. But I don't think I was happier. So that's good to remember.
Yeah. It is good to remember. And the thing that's good to remember about that is that anybody who cares about you wants you to be happy. They don't want you to be efficient or, that'd be nice if you are, because you would probably enjoy that. But the main thing they want you to be is happy. Anybody who doesn't care, who wants you to perform in a particular way, even if it kills you, it's good to get rid of them.
Right.
Right? It's good to just cut them loose.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I'm sure that was all made up anyway. You know, it's all, yeah. I suspect. Not like anybody was really, you know, on the outside angling for that, just the voices, right? But it's just...
That's right.
Yeah, it's just
that's right.
A weird,
and,
interesting
Jen,
place. Go ahead.
Were they really, did they, the voices really approve of you before you made this horrible turn to decadence? back in those days when you were supposedly everything that you should be, were they pretty much nonstop praising you for being the wonderful person that you were?
No, it was always never enough. Yeah, right, yeah. No, for sure, exactly.
So nothing has changed, like, really.
No, nothing has changed, exactly. Just these, like, other ways of being are kind of not there, which again I really can see is like helpful. Like I feel this sense of like there's these other, it feels like actually what is really possible, is coming more from, like, I don't feel very practiced in it, but I feel like that's what I can be practicing with, is like learning to come from life instead of from conditioning, that, you know, there was such a conditioned groove of like, this is how I have to do it for so long. And now it's like, whoa, that's not working and it's not happening. And conditioning says that's awful and I'm falling apart and I'm letting everyone down, but actually it feels like something new is making itself available.
Birthing.
And I want to practice to that. Yeah, birthing, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. And the main thing for us to get is, no matter what you do, no matter how you are, they're never happy. So
that's true.
You might as well be happy. If you can't please those voices, and we've all lived long enough to prove to ourselves that we can't, if you can't please them, you might as well please you. If they're not going to be happy anyway, at least you can be happy. Don't you think?
Yes, I mean, it's like, what? But, you know, on the one level, but yes, absolutely, right. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah. No,
and again, of course, you can, you can check it out. You could actually ask people who care about you. Okay, now I'm not being all of these ways that I used to be before that really made me quite unhappy, and I'm being these new ways that I'm much happier with. Am I disappointing you terribly? Would you rather I went back to those behaviors and was unhappy, or is it okay with you that I'm this new way and I'm happier? Just see what they say.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the step to focus on. I mean, yes, maybe the asking, but also the, like, choosing the happier, because I don't know that I've been doing that a lot. I think what I've been doing a lot is kind of referencing back to conditioning, telling me how I'm, you know, not doing a good job, or, you know, I've been kind of stuck in that, like, wow, you know, you used to do all these things for people and now you're not. I don't know. I've been in a lot of that. So it feels like that's the possibility here is to stop that, right?
Yes.
And to,
yes. Get off the karma nippers and cut it loose.
Yeah.
Because, again, I mean, I know I say this all the time, but it's the important part of it. It's a voice in your head, and it's criticizing you as if it were a real person somehow invested in how you are. But it's just a voice inside your head that criticizes you all the time.
Right. Yes, it's so helpful. I mean, as we're talking, I'm going to record after this because, you know, it feels like it's that great place of like, oh, yeah, like what was the problem here? Like the whole problem feeling falls away, you know.
Exactly.
But then I know when I'm in it, it's like, oh, there's a big problem. But now I'm like, oh, what was the problem?
So, right, what was the problem?
That's
a voice
reminder.
In my head.
Yeah.
A voice in my head has opinions about how I am.
Yeah.
Do I care? Yeah. No, because this is my life. This life does not belong to the voice in my head. If it wants to have a life, it needs to go get a body. I'm the one with the body. I get to live my life.
Yes, and just lastly, I know I want to watch the time, but I want to keep reminding this person to stop believing that it's because it feels like it's not just that voice. It feels like it's other people, because the projection stuff is so strong that, you know, I'm sure that other people are judging me and this is what they think and, you know, all of that stuff. And
that's the same exact voice. So the voice says, I don't approve of you. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't approve of you and she doesn't approve of you and they don't approve of you. See, there's the proof that there really is something wrong with you. And when we follow it back, it's all that same voice.
Yes, and it's all so made up. I was in this like meeting, and I caught it for a minute. Like I realized it was all that stuff that we talk about. Like there were words, and then there were looks, you know, and all of that was being read through the conditioned system, and like creating these sensations because that means that they think this about me, and like, you know, all that meaning of, you know. Like, really, it was just people sitting there, you know, talking. It wasn't, you know.
Trying to digest their lunch.
Yes, exactly. But it was interpreted as this whole, like, it was like, you know, this, like, let's hate Jen party. Or I mean, it was crazy. It was just so, yeah, the intensity of, like, those sensations that can happen from just, like, a look or, you know, all that stuff and all that it's supposed to mean, and just to keep remembering that it's all that voice. So just a huge thank you for practice to,
you're so welcome. The other thing about it, this is the last thing, so that voice, that conditioning is supporting ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what wants to have your life is ego. And so if we realize that, we can see how egocentric it is always to be focused on me.
Yes, and what everyone thinks about me, because that's all anybody is thinking about, of course. Right?
All the time. And so we can see ego's hand in it, and we can see why. Ego wants to be the center of everything all the time. It doesn't have a body. It can't be the center of anything. So it has to try to make you be the center of everything for it.
Yes. Oh, and it's so much more fun and happy when there isn't that whole egocentric, when it's like,
yes,
I don't know, but I'm just alive and there's a flower. And exactly.
And that's right. And I'm going to focus my attention on other people and do things like practice finding something about them that I really like in this moment. Okay, so that
smiling.
Instead of what they think about me, I'm going to focus on what I appreciate about them. Ego is just going to scream bloody murder.
Then that's the direction. So thank you so
much. That's right. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Michael.
Ignore
thank you, everybody.
Ignore it till it screams.
Yeah, yes, on that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. Sherry, I love that conversation. Two things about that. One, it reminded me of a favorite line of yours that I appreciate, which is, I don't care. I just love
it. I choose unconditional love. I really don't care what you've got going. I just don't care.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then from the last part of that conversation, to remember that really about being egocentric, really I'm a bit player in everyone else's life. And
yes.
to think that I have some great importance to anyone else and that they're even noticing me or a,
yes. Yes, if when they yes. look at me, they even see me, which yes. is really doubtful, right? Yeah. If we could, you know, do one of those, ask the last 50 people I passed, you know, about me. They would go, what? Who? What? No.
Yeah.
I never saw you. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And of course, for ego, well, you know, then that's just proof that there's something wrong with you, because if you were the right person, people would see you and they would, you know, no. And so it's just very relaxing to realize, as you say, I'm just a bit player here.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
If I flub my lines, the play is not going to fall apart.
And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be back and talk with some more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from Berkeley.
Hello, Laura.
Wow. Well, as you may be able to hear, I'm a little bit sick, so my voice is a little different.
You haven't been for a while, though, right?
Yes, it is true. So I've been making recordings about how grateful I am for that.
Because that kind of thing is really going around, and so if it's missing you most of the time, that's pretty darn good, huh?
It's true. It's true. Yeah, so that's nice to keep the focus there rather than on, you know, where conditioning would like to go with it.
Oh, yeah.
and it means I get to be here to be on the radio show. So
yeah. You could probably start out with this in the morning, and you can carry on Tuesday all the way through this. And
Yep. And one, I wanted to, I guess two things. One, I wanted to report back in the launch for 2018. We had talked about a process that goes on for me on the weekends of kind of conditioning sort of tells me, oh, you got to get everything done, and then you can relax, and then it'll be great. And
yeah.
And so your encouragement to me was to instead focus on being happy and enjoying and to see how that went. And
uh-huh.
And that's been that's been really powerful. One of the big things I've noticed is that is actually just synonymous with be here. That in order to be happy and to enjoy, I just have to be here. Like that.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, because it'll drop in like, oh right, you know, I'll find myself in that program of like, okay, I got everything done, and then I'll be like, oh right, okay, I'm being happy and I'm enjoying, and it's like the movement that I have to make to do that is to get here.
Yes, because no matter what, if we're lost in a conversation, if we're off somewhere, we're not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and something that that's been dropping in lately in recordings was just that I'd rather miss out on getting some things done, you know, letting some things fall through the cracks than miss out on enjoying my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a powerful reminder.
And Laura, is it either mm-hmm. or? I mean, what are some of the things that would fall through the cracks so that you could enjoy your life?
You know, vacuuming the floor and getting the car washed and watering the plants and getting the laundry done, you know, stuff like that tends mm-hmm. to be.
And so I'm just curious, if those are necessarily things that you can't enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like they've been turned into a duality.
Yep. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something that I've been seeing is that that I don't need to like do anything different to enjoy my life. It's not like I do anything different on the weekends. It's just that I'm here and so I'm enjoying it.
Right, because
rather than being in a story about getting it done, you know.
Yes, exactly, because it's all for you, isn't it?
Hmm.
You know, the way mm-hmm. you take care of your house is for you. Doing the laundry is for mm-hmm. you. You know, vacuuming is so that you can enjoy your clean floor. You know, your car it's for you because you drive around in your car and you enjoy it being clean. And, you know, so rather than, now, if it's a beautiful day and the choice is between vacuuming the floor, getting the car washed, you know, whatever, doing the laundry, or going out for a hike or meeting friends for brunch or, you know, and always you have to be the Cinderella and stay home and do these things,
mm-hmm.
then it does become an either-or. And they are drudgery. But if all of that, every bit of that, you go to work because that takes care of you, you spend time with friends because that takes care of you, you do chores because that takes care of you, then everything is for you and everything is enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it feels like from that, when there's no duality of for me and have to, then I'm kind of at freedom to choose, like you say, on that beautiful day of like, well, which of these things that's for me do I feel like doing today? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe sometimes, you know, I do want to vacuum the floor, but I don't want to, it's too beautiful outside. And so, you know, I'll do it during the week. How long does it take, for heaven's sake? You know, I'll get the car washed on the way home from work, along with the rest of California.
Well, it feels like I actually really do enjoy, like, you know, vacuuming and, you know, cluttering around and taking care of the house.
Yeah.
But it feels like my to-do list gets packed with about twice as my mental, you know, conditioning to-do list. It's always about twice as much as I could actually get done in the weekend. And,
uh-huh.
like, that's how it kind of gets turned into suffering, you know?
Yeah. So I read this thing at one point, and so, you know, we have to all fill in our own blanks here. But so what people will do is fall for a belief that they should be able to do over a weekend what would actually be done handily in a month. Right?
Yeah.
So, and if it's a work week, you know, I have to go to work, I have to go to the store and get healthy food and cook it. I need to go to the gym. I need to, you know, and the list just goes on and on and on, as if every day those things should happen. But they can't. And so it just turns into suffering and misery. So perhaps that's part of it too, to look at what's a realistic time frame to do these things. And maybe instead of 2 days, mm-hmm. it's actually over a week or even something, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, no, I just wanted to say too that go ahead.
No. I was just going to call it a kindness list instead of a to-do list.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that I've been really resonating with particularly the last conversation, because I just went through a big kind of self-hate experience over the weekend where I made a very public mistake. And so just getting to
you,
practice
you had
that,
a,
I do not care.
You had a very public learning experience?
That's true. Yes. Yes, but a very public learning spiritual opportunity.
Chance to choose the human over conditioning.
Yeah, and it just felt it was pretty uncomfortable for a while in terms of just being really in it, but was really grateful for kind of all the guidance that I've received that kind of helped get me, and the practices and everything kind of helped me get to, I don't care, I just care about the human. And I don't care about the rest. And,
yeah.
So.
In 100 years, nobody's going to know or remember. Let's keep this in perspective. Yeah. But kindness and compassion, that's always a good choice.
Yep.
Now, do you think that had something to do with your health issue?
I do suspect that, actually, because I was really in it this weekend and just stressed and tension. And then yesterday I kind of relaxed, and then I got sick that night.
Uh-huh. Really hard on the immune system to go through something like that.
Yeah. And, of course, now, like this thing that I thought was so horrible, the person who was most involved just told me, oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. No problem. And so now I'm sort of at the other side where it's like, oh, why'd you make such a big deal about that?
Because you told me I needed to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like Andrew, right? They never, it just goes this side, that side, this side, that side, this side, that side. Whatever it is. Whatever is going to make you unhappy. That's what I'm arguing for right now.
Wow. Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah.
So nasty. Yeah.
It's true.
All right. Well, you
I'm glad we have another
choice.
Care
of yourself. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter, does it? So that happened. Okay, that happened. And you saw a lot and realized a lot. And then you don't feel well. And okay, that's happening. And you get to see a lot. And it doesn't matter. We don't care. There's a human being here who is absolutely worthy of unconditional love. And that's what she's going to get.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, good care. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. That was another great conversation, Sherry. I really enjoyed that and could relate to all of it.
All of it, yeah.
Yes.
Everything. That is the best part about Sangha, isn't it? Whatever's going on with anybody, we can all go, oh boy, I know that one. Mm-hmm. Yep, I can relate.
Yes, exactly. And going back to Jen and Scott's conversation in the Good News Update, you know, after going through the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, I have to conclude, well, there's either something wrong with everyone or there's nothing wrong with anyone. But I can't go back and forth on it because it's just, it doesn't work.
And in either case, it doesn't matter. It's either all of us or none of us. Good. We don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, we're all the same.
Either way, we're all the same and we're fine. And if we just get here and accept this is the way life is, this is what's going on, and we get to choose unconditional love. There. We get to live in compassion and kindness. There. That's it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
And we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air.
No. Got me on mute.
Hey, Sherry, this is Zoe from New Jersey.
Hey, Zoe.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really well. I'm so excited to get on the show. It's so funny. I have two things coming up for me right now. And so I just got home from my first day back at work after the wonderful, wonderful Transcending Fear retreat.
Uh-huh. It was wonderful,
and,
wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
And so it's so interesting. So a coworker said there's this opportunity, you know, there's a position open in this other unit, you know. So I thought of your saying yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I'm very tempted. And I said, give me one night, you know, I'll give you an answer in the morning. And I decided to practice that thing where you just know in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And at the same time, I've created this pattern of going unconscious when I get home from work. And so it's so interesting. I feel that pull so strong right now. Even though I'm, like, you know, just listening to the last couple of callers, like, enjoying and relating to everything everyone's saying, and there was something I was going to say about that last call that's completely out of my head, but, yeah, so I'm enjoying the call, and I'm enjoying being here, and I feel that really strong pull at the same time.
To go unconscious.
Yep. To use... thing to go unconscious.
Because, you know, you've been probably doing your best to pay attention all day, and ego needs a break. So it needs to get you unconscious so that it can have a break from all this awareness. Awareness is wearing it out.
Yeah. So I don't know. I had this vision of like a awareness. What's the word? You know how you can call a sponsor if you're in AA, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. Like if you're feeling the urge to drink, you can call a sponsor, right? So this is perfect.
So
I was like, this is my radio show, and so, you know, it's here now at the moment. But yeah, I was thinking of like my Zen coach sponsor. I can call up and say, I'm really feeling this urge to X, Y, or Z. But I don't, you know, it's just whatever's floating through my head. I just thought it was funny.
Yes. Well, I think it's great that you thought of it, right?
Mm.
Because that, I mean, that it's the whole thing. So there's that pull to go unconscious. You know exactly why it's there and why it's doing that. And and instead, you're talking to me, you're listening to the show and being with Sangha, and it's still pulling at you, and you're watching it, right? So, so you did, in effect, call your sponsor.
I know.
When this is going on. Yeah. You know, are you in the year-long retreat?
I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can listen to one of those shows as your call to the sponsor, you know, and then just see what happens after that. You know, not with any big, because, you know, you could call your sponsor, get off the phone, and go ahead and do whatever is going to result in unconsciousness. You know, there's nothing about calling the sponsor that's a guarantee. It's just bringing conscious awareness to what's going on. That much harder for ego to trip us up.
Definitely.
And so if we take out that element of, you know, good person, bad person, right person, wrong person, if I do, you know which one I am, and if I don't, we know which one I am. And now we're back again to Andrew, right, where whatever is going on, I don't know if you got there in time for Andrew, but what we can watch is you don't do it, they're trying to talk you into doing it. You do it, they're telling you what an awful person you are for having done it. You don't, you know, and they just go back and forth with whatever choice we're making in the moment. And so it can be kind of fun to watch them try to run their number. You know, instead of, this is all about me and what it says about me, depending on what I do, instead, you know, you reach out and listen to what they say. I pull your hand back and listen to what they, you know, kind of torture them a little bit. Instead of being tortured. Shall I? Let me see. Will I? Oh, not right now. Oh, will I? Maybe now. You know, it's just, use its own game on it. And then the whole thing, whatever it is that we're doing, the whole thing becomes an awareness practice instead of a right, wrong, good person, bad person contest.
Yeah, I like that.
Especially since you've got its number so... Yeah, you've got its number so clearly, you know. I mean, on the drive home, it's starting to talk to you, right? Yeah, and there's no beating in sight, right? Because this is just really the good thing to do. It's just going to be the, Oh, good to see it. All right. Well, you take
Thank
care of
you
yourself.
So much.
Now, it's in the morning you're going to know what you're going to do. You're going to wake up and
you know
what your choice is.
I'm feeling already like I might know. I was resisting talking to other people about it because I feel like that's a very external, that's like a conditioned thinking about it process. So, I don't know. I think I might already know.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the morning, huh?
It will. I think I already know. It might just be the second guessing, you know, like I already know, but I just have to.
We'll see, because I'm going to wake up in the morning, and it's going to be really clear, and then no second guessing at all. Very exciting.
What
were you gonna say?
To life. Well, it felt like the whole thing, yes to life thing, seems like organic. Like it's life organically. It's not like me like trying to make something happen, and you know, it has a, in my experience, it has a certain quality to it, and this almost felt like that. It's like, oh, here's this opportunity, like life is presenting, and it just has that a little bit of that quality.
Yes, I know what you mean. It's that place of, it's in my sphere, right? Somebody mentioned it to me. They didn't need to. Maybe our paths didn't cross, and I didn't know about it. And then by the time I found out, it was really too late. But it's here. It's here in my world. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
then that
trust.
Just like, oh, I can't, I have,
Well, it's the trust that you, if you say yes, then life is going to do what life does. You may get the position, you may not get the position. And then, you know, the voices will say what they say in either case.
Right.
And you'll just watch what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like less, it's less learning, but it's also less stressful. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, see, that's thinking about it. I want to think about it so badly and just like, and nope, I don't want to do that process because, or the life process happens just in a different way and I'm not efforting and the thinking about is what ruins and it ruins it.
Yeah, just it's a big open door for conditioned mind. And so then what it will like to present you with is, well, if you don't want to think about it, you might as well just go unconscious. That way you won't have to think about it. So that'll work out really nicely.
Yeah, my one coworker, she said flip a coin, and I just burst out laughing. I said, that's how I ended up here as a nurse.
I'm not sure I want to do that right now.
All right, thank you so much, Sherry. I really,
thank you,
really appreciate everything. Everything.
All
thank
right.
you to Michael. All right.
You're welcome.
Have a good
night.
Night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. And it's at the end of another great show, Sherry. Thank you so much.
It goes so fast. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Thank you for everything. Talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Good night.